Welcome to Classical Conversations. I'm Haley Taylor, and today we're talking to someone who the New York Times notes as one of the finest conductors of her generation, someone whose work we play often here on FM 91. It's Joanne Folletta. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to have a chance to talk to you.
Joanne Folletta serves as the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic, but today we're talking about a new commemorative CD set, a collection reminding people of the work of Claudette Sorel. Now, Joanne, for those who are not familiar with that name, can you tell us a little bit about who Claudette Sorel was?
Yes, she's a name that people don't know, and we're hoping with this CD that we will reintroduce her to the public. Claudette Sorel was a very amazing child prodigy. She was born in 1932 in France, and when she was 8 years old, she emigrated to New York with her parents to study, because it was, you know, obvious that she had a tremendous gift. And then just 2 years later, at the age of 10, she made her town hall recital and then the New York Philharmonic debut at the age of 11 at Carnegie Hall. I mean, she was astonishing. And in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, she had a tremendous career, really all over the world. But she had an accident, actually, just a winter accident. She slipped on the ice and hurt herself in a way that she could no longer have a concert career. So she dedicated herself after that to helping women in music. And she's very inspiring to me. I knew her. I came to know her in the 1990s when she wasn't playing anymore, but she was still a force of nature.
Yeah, how did you come to meet her? Because I know it's mentioned that you were a founding member of the Sorel Organization Advisory Board in the 90s. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then again, yeah, meeting her and becoming friends with her in person.
Yeah, you know, it was because of her accident and the, you know, the sad fact that she couldn't play at a professional level anymore, at a performance level. So she decided to use her resources to help women, because she really felt that women at that time, you know, it's still debatable as to now, but she felt that they were not treated with the same kind of respect as men were. And she started with pianists, of course. She was trying to help women pianists. But then she expanded that to include composers and conductors. And so she sought me out, because I was at the beginning of my career, and there weren't many women conducting at all then. But she found me, and she asked me for some advice, and would I be on her on the panel of her board, the advisory board. And I was thrilled. I was very inspired by her, because she was so giving. I mean, she was such a generous person and so much wanted to help. And another thing I admired about her a great deal was that she was such a passionate advocate for new music. I mean, yes, she played all the classics, Chopin, Rachmaninoff, but she was playing a lot of American music. And I thought that was just such an example for all of us to be adventurous. So, and she was the most charming woman. She was very petite, extremely petite, and you would never imagine the kind of sound she could create on the piano. And I hope people will be overwhelmed by what they hear on this double CD set. She was a powerhouse. She truly was incredible.
And there is a bit of a sadness to her story in that, you know, I'm a fan of classical music. I listen to it and I play it on the radio, but I was not aware of her and her name was not familiar to me. How do you think that happened, that she has slipped through the cracks throughout the years?
Well, I think it was just because in the 70s, she really did stop performing. And so people didn't see her on the stage. She actually became very involved with Fredonia University and taught there. She chaired the piano department for many years, and she published pedagogical works, and she was the first woman to be named a distinguished university professor in the SUNY system. So she did a lot of things, but since she wasn't actively performing anymore, I think her name just wasn't well known at that time. So we're hoping to change that.
Now, as you mentioned, this is a two CD set collection. So tell us a little bit about what is on these CDs and how you put together this collection.
Well, they're going to really get a sort of portrait of who she was and what she was interested in, because it's not standard fare exactly. For instance, we see Rachmaninoff on there, and there are three nocturnes. But these were nocturnes that Claudette discovered. They were early works of Rachmaninoff that no one had ever seen. And she went through his early writings, early compositions, and found these three and championed them. So this is probably a world premiere recording of these three pieces that were early works of a great artist. And then we have things on it like Joachim Raff and Moritz Moszkowski. These are people who were not well known, but again, she championed them. And in terms of American music, she's playing a piece by Paul Creston, written for her. She's playing a concerto by Joseph Wood and another one by Harold Morris, two very important but little known American composers who wrote them for her. So they'll get a sense of who she was, her sense of adventure, her sense of character, but also her sense of, they'll get a sense of her as an artist. I mean, she was an amazing player, not only technically, but in terms of her personality, her warmth, her just sense of the emotion of the music when she played. And included on there is what she considered her signature piece, the Piano Concerto No. 2 of American composer Edward McDowell. So a very interesting collection of a very fascinating woman.
And how involved were you in the creation of this new CD set? Was this something that you became aware of and became attached to later, or were you a part of this project from the beginning? Like, what is your involvement in this new commemorative CD set?
Well, you know, I became re-involved because after Claudette passed away in 99, very little was really done. But she had left a body of resources. She had left financial resources, again, to continue to help women. They sort of regrouped and decided, okay, what would Sorel, what would Claudette want to happen now? So they asked me to be a part of it because I was one of the few people who actually knew her in person at that point, and I had been on her advisory board. So I was very glad to do it, and we started working on figuring out what would she be happiest doing. And we all thought that now we might turn our attention to women composers, because there are not that many women composers who are played in orchestras, on orchestra seasons, even on the air. So this was something we thought she would be very proud of. So Foundation now is very actively involved in living women, not only living women, but mostly living American women.
And that's such an interesting topic to bring up. I'm sure being so closely connected to Claudette and seeing her experience through stories, but obviously in person throughout the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, and your work then in the 80s, 90s, and now, I mean, I'm sure you have seen a change within the industry. I can imagine that it's probably not as far as you wish it would have come throughout the years, but how do you think the industry is looking now, and where do you think we should be going in the next 10, 20 years? What are your hopes and dreams for female composers, female performers in the classical music world?
Well, you are right, Haley. There has been a big change. I mean, and it's happened slowly, but, you know, the classical music world is quite a conservative place. I mean, we're based upon a sort of 19th century kind of pattern or model. But it has started to change. We see more women on the podium as conductors. We certainly see a lot of women in orchestras now. They make up half or even more of the composition of an orchestra. And we're seeing more women composers being played and being encouraged. So I think it's changing. And what helped us a lot was the fact that during this pandemic, in a very strange way, we had a chance to sort of regroup and think about what the future would be. And I think all of us, or many of us, said, okay, we have this wonderful body of work of the past, and we'll never give it up. You know, Mozart and Brahms and Sibelius and Mahler, we're never going to give that up. But there's a lot of new voices, and we want to incorporate them. We want to encourage them. We want to support them. And I think all of us are looking for that, or for voices of the past that that were unjustly neglected, like some of the people on this album, Joseph Wood, Harold Morris, even Paul Creston. So I'm very excited about this now, because I think we've like opened the door to a world that's been there for us, and now we realize the riches that we can add to our orchestral world.
And for young students, young performers, or even just music lovers who are going to be listening to this CD, to this, again, this commemorative set, what do you hope that those young musicians take away from this CD, but also her work and the life of Claudette Sorrel?
I hope they take away from it her sense of adventure, because she was championing new composers when it wasn't the fashion to do it. She just believed so strongly in them, and she really supported them by playing their music on the highest level. That's an example for all of us, that kind of courage, that kind of commitment to unsung voices. I think that that's, for me, deeply inspiring, and I think that I hope that not only women, but everyone will gain a sort of insight into what we can do now.
Well, that was Joanne Folletta speaking to us today on Classical Conversations about the new commemorative CD set, Claudette Sorrel Rediscovered. It was just released last month on the Sorrel Classic label distributed by Naxos. Joanne Folletta, thank you so much for joining us today and for this conversation on a familiar friend for you, but a new friend for me, hopefully listening to her music and rediscovering who she was.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to have a chance to talk to you.